While everyone is leaving, I'm going to take this moment to just to remind you. Remember, I've only been here for a few weeks. You are so very blessed. Not because I've been here for a few weeks. You're not blessed about that at all. Oh my goodness. Do you know how fortunate you are, how blessed you are to be in a church like this? Like, these cool things happening over here and here. And not just in the sanctuary, but in the worship center when Heather's like, oh my goodness, you have talent here. And listening to Amy and seeing the joy on her face as she's baptizing, like these sacraments that are going on, and listening to her wrap in, did you hear this? How many times she said love in action today? She just brought all this together, which is right where I'm going in this sermon. You are truly a blessed congregation. Can I just take a moment to thank God for your blessings, for mine being a part of you now too? Let me just end to pray that he would bless this time too. Father, we are truly blessed, and that's because of you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done in bringing all these gifts, these talents here, and all of these who use them to show their love for you and each other. And not just showing them here on Sunday morning, but I know so many people in this congregation are showing their love for you by showing their love to people in this community during the week. And we're so grateful. Thank you for what your Spirit is doing in their life. And I pray, because I'm about to open up these scriptures, this ancient text, and we're going to look at it and it applies to us, and I want to say good things, and I don't always say good things, but with your Spirit, I know so much can be done. So Spirit, come along my words, and not just my words today, but words of preachers all across this town, this city, and these United States and the world. There are so many preaching, even right now, Lord. I want to pray for Kyle Mercer at Two Cities. He's preaching, and I know he wants to be faithful, and I pray that he'd do an amazing job. And I know Debbie Peterson is preaching today at Awake, and I know she wants people to hear the gospel, the good news, and to see them transformed. And I know I so want that. So be with my words as well, and with your people as they hear and they go home and they go to restaurants and they celebrate mom and they enjoy, or even sometimes maybe not enjoy, this day. I pray that these words about love would hold on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my opening question to you is this: what does it mean to be a Christian? That's about as big. I mean, what does it mean to be a Christian? I mean, and there's different levels of Christian, right? We all know that. So here we are. We're in the South, so pretty much you're automatically a Christian, right? That's just the way it works. If you're not a Muslim, you're not an atheist, you're a Christian. It's just who we are, especially in North Carolina around here. Everybody I meet is a Christian. I don't meet people who are just antagonistic Christians. So there's that level of Christian. But then there's the real Christians, right? Like people like you, the real Christians, the ones that, you know, you saw The Case for Christ in the movie theater and you liked it, didn't you? And The Shack, and I Can Only Imagine, and Courageous. That's the kind of Christians I'm talking about, the real Christians, the ones that Jesus really loves. You know what I'm talking about here? Okay, those kinds of Christians. You listen to WBFJ or K-Love on, it's the number one setting on your dial, isn't it? Yep, or you've got the Spotify that's happening, you know, Christian Spotify, it's on, because you're using your special super phones. Oh my goodness, I need my phone. Very, very non-cool there, sorry. Right, we got to have our phones. We got to have our smartphones. We got Spotify on there. But I'm talking about the real Christian, because that's one level of Christian. I'm talking about the real Christian. If you want to be as good a Christian as me, okay, by the way, just go ahead and give up. Like, I'm way up there. Jesus loves me far more. You got to know all the words to songs like A Mighty Fortress. Okay, that's right. No, only me. Yep, right. I mean, I was trying today to be able to get For the Beauty of the Earth, and I made it to that third or fourth one, and I had to put my glasses on so I could see. I couldn't remember the words. But I'm still pretty far up there when it comes to Jesus, right? We go to church every Sunday. Maybe you're with me with this group. We go to church every single Sunday, sometimes twice a week. We stay in the second service to serve, coming soon to a Presbyterian church near you. You know what I'm talking about here? Okay, we're committed to this kind of stuff, and the real Christians, right, that, you know, we study the Bible during the week, and sometimes we use a concordance, right? So we know some of those Greek words, don't we? Those Hebrew words. We're really special. We did a K. Arthur precept study once. We've got it going on. But the real Christians, I'm talking about the top-level Christians, are the ones who have their Bible apps on their phone, categorized, you know, right? This is what I'm talking about. Raise your hand if you've got a Bible app on your phone right now. I want to see the real Christians. Okay. Yep, that's who you are. Yeah, I mean, 41 translations, 22 different languages. I've got all that because we will know we are Christians by our Bible apps, by our, right? They'll know. Okay, yes. And by the way, Mother's Day, it's Mother's Day, so 1-800-FLOWERS, Uber Eats, you know all of these, right? Just wanted to remind you that it's not too late to still do these things. You can take care of an Etsy app, whatever. Just a reminder in case you forgot. Anyway, they'll know we are Christians by our Bible apps. You used to go into people's houses, and you could look on their shelves to find out, you know, okay, Chuck Swindoll, all right, this is good. Max Lucado, pretty good, right? John McCarthy, R.C. Sproul, okay, maybe Presbyterian, this is right. But now you have to look at their phones to know what kind of a Christian they are. Do you have the iChristian app? No, because you're not as cool as me. But one day, I mean, just keep trying. Maybe this helps you become a Christian. So you've got it on ready in case you're ready to evangelize. It makes connections for you. It even gives you a certificate you can print off if you've got Bluetooth to right there that tells you you are now officially registered as a Christian. Isn't that kind of nice? You got the iChristian app. If you got the Bible Shaker app, super cool people have the Bible Shaker app, and it brings just anytime you need it, just shake it. NIV or King James, a verse just pops up. NIV for all of you who like the worship center better, King James for all of you who like the sanctuary better. Right? You are ready. It's coming up for you. That's how you're encouraged. You're inspired. Truly good Christians have, like me, we have the Rapzilla app. Rapzilla, so you can rap along with the greats like Paul and Jesus from the past, because if rapping was good enough for them, you get the rap, right? The rap app. And there's one called Me So Holy. Okay? Me So Holy app, I'm not kidding you. You can Photoshop, you don't need Photoshop, the app does it for you. Take a picture of you can take your face and you can put it into pictures of Paul, Moses, Jesus. If you want to be at the Lord's Supper laying against Jesus, you want to be the Apostle John right there with your face, you can put your face on Jesus as he's going out and doing stuff. Okay, you know that is Me So Holy. Slightly sacrilegious, let's be honest. Okay, but still, like, you can literally be Jesus. Because we all know that's what it means to be a Christian, right? Right? So, I don't have most of those apps. I do have one on here, because sometimes I forget my, you know, big NIV study Bible with a gold leaf to show everybody how important I am. I forget that, so I've got to pull I've got one on here. I saw The Shack. I didn't see A Case for Christ. I probably won't ever. I can only imagine. It was kind of powerful, I guess. I don't listen to Christian stations here. I had to ask people what they were because Christian stations don't play Bon Jovi and Def Leppard, and so I'm not really that interested. But I'm getting there. Maybe there's a Bells only, like, because I'm getting into that. I'm getting into that, Susan. All right. That's my next move. All right. So how do you know who's a Christian? How do you know who the Christians are? Because, you know, I mean, what does it even mean to be a Christian? The word Christian doesn't even have any actual meaning in and of itself. This morning, Mike Sloan was teaching, a classics professor at Wake, he was teaching on Romans, and he was talking about how words change meaning, and that's what's really dangerous when they start to change. Christian didn't have any meaning when they started talking about it. It's kind of just like little Christ. It's little Jesuses. That's it. And it was even a little bit derogatory. Maybe not derogatory, but it wasn't a good thing to be called. It was just, oh, you're like that guy. And it's only used in the Bible a few times. King Agrippa asks Paul about it. He says, do you think you can persuade me in so short a time to become a Christian? Remember that verse? And, you know, and then Paul and him talk. And Peter talks about Christians who suffer. And then there's this verse in Acts 11. We're getting to the text, I promise. There's this verse in Acts 11 that is about where they're first called Christians. Do you remember that particular thing? They were first called Christians at Antioch. It's this weird word that doesn't show up a lot, but we use it all the time. I mean, we're Christians. It's how we define ourselves. We know what this means, but we don't really know what it means. Here's Acts 11. It says, for a whole year, this is verse 26, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to shift us from thinking about Christians, which I don't know what that means. It's kind of like the word evangelical. It's so fluid now. Do I want to be an evangelical? Do I love Trump? Do I hate Trump? Does that connect? Is it a conservative right? Is that what it means? Right? What does it even mean to be a Christian? I always ask people, like, what do you mean when you say, am I a Christian, before I say yes or no? Because they might mean something very, very different. But this word, disciple, where the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, this word disciple, it's got some meaning, right? Synonyms might be like student, learner, right? Someone who sits under someone else. But there's more, because we know from James 1:22, if you were here last week, right? This is the theme, and you see it on your bulletin, the life apps. That's why I spent so much time on Rapzilla app. Like, who cares about a Rapzilla app, right? But we've got these life apps where these things that God is calling us to. James 1:22 says, we don't merely listen to the word. So disciples aren't people who just sit under the word. Don't merely listen to the word. Be a student only. Don't sit here and think because you came and you listened to some guy from the front talk for a long time that somehow you can check off the Christian box. Like, that was somehow beneficial to, I mean, hopefully it's beneficial to you, but that it somehow puts you in right standing with God. Like, that's not what's happening here. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, it says, James 1:22. That is, you're lying to yourself if you think this is what makes Jesus happy. Jesus doesn't want a bunch of listeners. I mean, it's good. Thank you for listening. But there's something more. He doesn't want people to just have that preset to K-Love. Like, that's not what makes you a Christian. You've got your Bible app, your phone, you love the Christian movie Courageous or Fireproof. That doesn't make you some sort of Christian because you listened and looked and had some sort of emotional connection there. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And what does it say that disciples do? How will people know if we're Christian or not? Is it by our apps? Is it by some radio station? Is it by our lack of using bad words all the time? They'll know we are Christians by our what? By our what? By our love. Yeah, we just did like a, what was that called? A mob? Wasn't that kind of cool? Like, yeah, you go to a cool church. This, they'll know we are Christians by our love. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Not if you sit and listen. They'll know you are my disciples if you love one another. This is our text this morning, and I'm not a fan of doing one-line texts and then somehow building a whole sermon around it. But I have a plan, and if you'll give me a little bit of time to show you how much I love you, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to do some more exegesis over time. Right now, I'm kind of giving these fluffier sermons. I'm trying to take us somewhere. I've got a big plan. I do know how to exegete. I can do all the cool stuff that I've, you know, talked about with my pretentious self. I can do all this. But right now, I want us to just simply hear this. We are his disciples if we love one another. So let me just pause and ask you this. Is that how people know you? Do they know that you are a Christian by your love, by your actions? Because we don't get to come here on Sunday and think that means we're a Christian, that we're Christians. We have to do. And it's not just love in an emotional sense that I have feelings for someone else. It's an active love. And of course, Christians love God. You're here, right? You're doing the things you're supposed to be doing. I'm singing. I love God. I'm reading my Bible more. I'm doing my Greek word studies. I'm going to small group or Sunday school or Quip or Wednesday Night Live. Maybe I'm doing all of these things, not for the summer, but I'll be back. But I find it interesting that none of those things are specifically mentioned, at least not a lot, in the Bible. Right? The call isn't for you to make sure you do your Greek word study. Right? Or to make sure that you've gone to youth group this week. Like, that's not what's happening here. Being a Christian means being a follower, and followers follow. Followers follow. They're like Jesus. They love like Jesus loved. Can I just remind you for a second about this man, Jesus, and how he loved deeply. Sacrificially, covenantally. Again, this morning, that was the summary. I have this right here in my notes. That was the summary that Mike Sloan said as he was teaching this class that we were in, the Sunday school class. He said, if you want to know what love is, it's covenantal and sacrificial. And this is Jesus loving to the point of blood. That's love. Not only did he heal those who were lame and deaf and blind, and he spoke to the outcasts and hung out with those who were hated, which we've even talked about here already this morning, and gathered children to him, as we've shown this morning, and gave them truly good news. He gave his life so that they would live together in this unity, in this love. That's the way Jesus loved. Then he went to heaven, and he spoke to his followers. He gave them this thing right before he left. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's our task, right? We're called to go out into the world and make disciples, not make Christians. Because I feel like sometimes we think if we just give people the right information, if they listen and they check the box, that all is well. But he wants followers. He wants disciples, people of action. I mean, it's okay for us to talk about belief as a list of things that we understand. We just read the Apostles' Creed. That's a good thing. Read the Nicene Creed. Read the Athanasian Creed. And there's tons of others, Westminster Confessions. We can read these things and say, these are the things that we profess. And I like to preach on those things. They're very important. But if we're just listening to the word, or we're just saying these words, we're deceiving ourselves. We have to be followers. We've got to do. We've got to look like Jesus in the world. You remember Anne Rice? Anne Rice wrote the Vampire Chronicles, Vampire Diaries, Vampire Chronicles in the 70s. Some of you may have read that at that time. She became a Christian in 2005. She came back to the Christianity of her youth, is how she describes it, and embraced it completely. She even wrote a book called Called Out of Darkness. So from her vampire world to this new world where she tells about her spiritual journey. 5 years goes by. In 2010, she renounced it again. So she wasn't Christian, and then she was Christian, and then she said, I'm done with this, because she said Christians are quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, and deservedly infamous. But what she said is, I'm not done with Jesus, though. She didn't want to be associated with Christians, because she saw Christians like this, but she reaffirmed her commitment to Christ. She said, following Christ doesn't mean I have to follow his followers, because they're not following. Christ, she said, is infinitely more important than Christianity and always will be, no matter what Christianity is, has been, or might become, she said. Following Jesus. And I think a lot of us get stuck, like, I don't want to be a part of that group. Have you seen his people? And that's sad, and we probably need to talk about that. And I've got a sermon series coming on what the church is and the glory and the beauty of the church despite our messiness. And oh my gosh, we're a disaster, aren't we sometimes? And he loves us and gave his life for us anyway. But she noticed that we call ourselves these Christians. She wanted to know, what does it mean to really follow him? And if we know anything this morning, and we probably knew all of this long before this morning, it means love. That's what it means to follow, love. So here we are, we're expected to make disciples in a city that is filled with mostly good, I think, people who are trying to love and want to do the right thing, and they're middle class and they're family kind of people. And Jesus will say, here's the way to show this city and this world whose you are. Love. Simple. Love. The early church was pretty serious about this. You've probably heard about them, right? Go by. They're very serious. According to the book of Acts, it says they lived their lives and spoke about Jesus in such a way that people were drawn to them and then drawn to him. They were attractive. There was something about them that grabbed hold of them. They were drawn to the followers of Jesus because they were following Jesus. And this continued for 300 years or so, and then the Roman Empire adopted Christianity as its official religion. And then things started to go down because the church got strong and they could leverage other things besides love. That's what happens when we get strong, isn't it? We can leverage other things to get people to do what we want. And the mission starts looking like, therefore, go ye into all the world and impose Christian teachings, values, and worldviews on everyone. It was the message of a group that was in control. We've got it. It's not the message of Jesus. For Jesus, making disciples meant showing people so much love that the byproduct was the destruction of all of their old beliefs and their way of living life. They moved from this elitist, insider versus outsider, rule-based religion to one of inclusion and grace, love, and everything they were doing. It just took over. I don't need to convince them, here's the way you should understand God and systematic theology, and here's the triangle. If I love them, that stuff just starts to take on this new meaning. Now, there is a good place for drawing and those kinds of things and Sunday schools and all that, but I just want to start with something really simple. It's just about love. Our first mandate in listening in the James 1:22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do it. The first mandate, and we've got a bunch, you'll see them on there. Celebration is coming, confession, forgiveness, trust, all of these things. The first one has got to be love. Love is who we are, and we know what loving God is. We know this from 1 John. Here's how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. We're listening to him, and we know his commands. Those aren't, and I don't mean going back to the Ten Commandments or the 613 laws of Torah. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying we know his commands, like be like Jesus. Right? Love people more, care for the hurting, you know, big general things like that. And we can check those off easily, can't we, as Christians? Yes, I can check. Oh, love people? Got it. Care for the hurting? Got it. Because they're so vague, we can all succeed in these. We could all tell ourselves that we're doing a great job, but then we're told how to love someone. The command starts being a little bit more specific, what God actually expects. So there's this story about Jesus talking to this rich person about how he enters into the kingdom of God, and that's not going to heaven kind of thing. That's just how do you live this life under the king? How do you do that? And he said, well, you should give all your money to the poor. It's like, oh, and then we start finding loopholes, don't we? Well, you know, that's not prescriptive, that's just descriptive. That's for those people at that time. If you know your hermeneutics, that's just for him, at his specific time, in his context, that's not for me. And we don't even let it hit us. Because we're quickly finding the loopholes that show us that that's not the way to love. We have a better way to love. Instead of letting it grab us, and you might be right on your hermeneutics and how you interpret this, but maybe this should grab a hold of us. Confess your sins to one another. Well, I mean, I don't see how that is that loving? How is confessing my sins loving? How does this show love? And so we come up with a loophole, right? God doesn't want me to be that transparent. After all, I'm a leader in the church. If I start confessing my sins, then they're going to start to see all these flaws, and then they can't follow me the way I need them to follow me in order for them to see Jesus well. And so, you know, I'm going to keep my flaws, my sins on the down low. You know, there's just one or two people who know them, maybe. You know, forgive one another. Of course we forgive one. Who doesn't forgive one? We've been in church a long time. You know what forgiveness is. Of course we're going to forgive people. I mean, unless they hurt my family. Like, I mean, there's some things that we won't. And God did give us guns for a reason, right? We're all in until it starts to actually step on our toes. As long as it's vague enough that we can feel like, I've done this. I've connected. I've done what Jesus has called me to do. Then we're happy. But as soon as it starts stepping on our toes, we get a little concerned about this. How do we love one another? I just want to give you a few things, some takeaway for your life app today. Okay? So this is a wake-up app. It's not going to do anything. This isn't going to make you love people. It's not going to make you go out to Mother's Day lunch today. But it's going to remind you at 12:15, this guy better be quiet because I got a reservation. Right? I know what you're thinking about. I'm pulling it together here. All right. Here's the first one. Okay, I've got four T's because you guys pay me a lot of money to come up with alliterative cool things like this. So I've got four T's for you. First one is be transformed. Be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Our mind needs a restart because we're stuck in the pattern of this world. And of course we are, because that's what we're doing all the time. We're here, we're living in this world, and we don't find ourselves transported into this other world, heaven, as often as we would like. And by the way, that's the goal, is constantly, right? Coming back to heaven, finding that new Eden, this new temple, this new paradise, the presence of God, into the presence of God. So important. But so we need to get out of this pattern of this world, and we're satisfied with love as defined by the world when it should be the pattern of Jesus that we're following. And the world, this world that we live in, we seem to think it's the only one, and Jesus is saying, no, this is the real one. Come, I'm going to show you this alternative way of living. Renew your mind, be transformed, because our love barometer is broken. Because the commercials and the love songs and the stuff that's happening, it's constantly grabbing hold of us, and we can't even help it. We're like, no, I'm not going to believe. And we just do. We can't help it, and we've got to recalibrate our love barometer, because we're satisfied, as Lewis says, with making mud pies in the slums. Heard that? We're satisfied. Like, this is good. This is fine, because we don't have a clue what it would be like the holiday at sea would be like. We're like, we're good. Like, no, come over here into this other world. You can have a holiday. I don't know what that means. I'm happy. We think like this version of love is somehow it, and it's not. He's this all new world. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I'm speaking right now, Christians, I love you desperately. Some of you, I'm starting to actually, like, I'm getting to know you. I'm so glad that I'm here and getting to be a part of this and serve with you in this community. Non-Christians, I'm glad you're here too. This isn't a call for you in the same way. Remember, this relationship that God sets up with us, it's set up with his covenant people. Right? That's something he's saying. Come into this. I'm going to show you a new way of living. But I'm guessing it's attractive to everyone, because it's the way real life is lived. So first, be transformed. Second, think on worthy things. If you want to love, think on worthy things. Remember, this is all going to be application. You got to do, but this is the beginning. Think on these things. Finally, brothers and sisters, you know this one. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, part of our problem is that we're constantly focusing on the wrong things. Isn't that true? We can't help it because it's around us. I mean, just scroll on Facebook for 3 seconds, right? It's telling us we should be focused on something else. These rants, we listen to the gossip, the complaining, the whining, you name it, it's everywhere. We're upset about the way the church is doing this. We're upset about the way Starbucks is doing this. Right? And we feel like we need to let everyone. We focus on these things, and it's hard to focus on loving one another when our mind is stuck there. So think on worthy things. Tape this little verse on your mirror in your car, right, that says, think on these things, noble things. So when that person cuts you off, you can be saying to yourself, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, how will I love the people when I get to work? Even though I'm really upset with the world right now because of that jerk. How will I love? How will I love? So think on worthy things, be transformed. Number three, I'm starting to make this work, the tease. I don't know how it's going to work. It's not good. Trumpet others. Okay? It's bad, but you'll remember it because it's bad, won't you? Trumpet others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. We do, don't we, even as Christians, value ourselves first? We put ourselves first. Disciples value others. Remember, disciples are followers, and we're following the one who has the cross. And he says, take up your cross and follow me. And so we're following him. And so that's all about, that cross is all about others, not about us. So trumpet others, put them first, no matter who they are, not just people who are like you, but people who are absolutely opposite of you in their race, in their political beliefs, in their age, whatever that is. Trumpet others. Here's the fourth one. I'm back to brilliant. Treat gooder. Treat gooder. Yeah, you know, this is why they pay me. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good to all people. Not just each other, but to everyone. Everybody always, Bob Goff says, if you've read his book. Everybody always. And he wasn't the one who came up with that. That might have been Jesus. Everybody always. So let's grab hold of this. Let's apply this just for a few minutes. Like, grab these things and let's see, what are we going to do? And so I said, how would I do this? How am I going to show love? I have to plan it. I've got to think this through. Okay? Yes, don't merely listen and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. But sometimes you got to listen, and then you got to write something down, and then you've got to put it into action, right? So I started thinking, what's a love list look like? Love list look like. I got alliterative going everywhere, right? What does a love list look like here? How are we do this? Have you thought about such a list that, I mean, because I know every one of you wants to love people. I know that's what you want. So here's the alarm going off. What are we gonna do to show love? Now, as I've gotten to know this church over the last several weeks, I have seen, even today, I was scrolling through all of our covenant partners, our missional partners. The things that you are doing, the things that you have instituted in this city over the last 100 years has been amazing. The ways that you are showing love to the world, right? Hope, help our people eat. That's like, there are people in our church involved in doing that. We've got a DR trip coming. Right? We're going to go to the Dominican Republic and show people love tangibly there. Cook Elementary, there's people here who are in these schools and helping in these things. Holly House, taking care of women, right? These kinds of things. So I'm just, this is not Jay saying, okay, it's time to get back. Like, you're doing this. You are loving. Okay, this is just a way to say, okay, let's remember why we're doing this, and maybe some people here aren't doing it. Or maybe you need some new energy around what you're doing. And what will this look like? Some things are really big like that, hope and the DR trip and wherever else we're going. But what's next? And are there little ways, big ways? What ways will you do it? Can the church get together and do, these are just generic dumb ideas, a free car wash for people? It's not to earn money for DR. It's we just love you. Come on through. We'll do it while you're parked. Yeah, you stay here for 3 minutes. We'll love you. And we don't feel like we have to evangelize you. Here's the four spiritual laws while you're doing it. Just love out loud. That sounds like a cool ministry in this community. Someone should come up with that. It's brilliant. Love out loud and have a school of love under that. I have all these ideas that you guys have never come up with before. Right now, I'm just coming up with these. Write these down. Okay, car wash. Take donuts to people in town. It would be cool if we met here in the morning and we got Krispy Kreme and we just walked across to Jimmy John's and took them some things into the Hampton Inn and just said to the people behind the counter, hey, we've got some donuts here. And we went over to Camino because they're blessing us like crazy. Let's bring, I don't know if they'd want our Krispy Kreme donut. They'd be like, no, thanks. But I love Krispy Kreme. I'm addicted. But whatever, right? Just go out there. We'll go to Camino and get the donut and then go out with that. Okay, there you go. cleaning gutters? Can we do oil changes for people? Can we take care of single widows, women, young children? Like, can we take care of, can we send cards to people who have lost loved ones? Like, people in your community have lost moms today. Literally today. How do we love those people? How are you having people over, your neighbors for dinner, so you can just get to know them? And yes, in the back of your mind is the agenda. If I love this person, they may enter into a new world with Jesus. That's a great agenda. But you don't have to feel like you've got to take out the four spiritual laws or the gospel, the Romans Road, which is weird anyway. But like, how do we show them this just love? How about honoring our officials, policemen, firemen? Can we do something where we give awards to them and just say, thank you for putting yourself at risk all the time. Thank you for our officials, even if we don't agree with them. Thank you for serving our community in this way. Every act of love takes intention and time. And by the way, that means you absolutely have to schedule in margin time. You got to figure out, you can't be so busy that you can't show love. Sometimes it's just about just being with someone and making sure they know how loved they are. And it's more than emotions. It's more than words. That's what I'm trying to say. It's more than some vague idea. It's doing. There's a tribe that calls this loving with your shoes on. Right? Loving with your shoes on. Going out. Does this community of faith show people how much they love? If you asked people out there, would they say, oh yeah, first press. The people who love. I know them. They love. Tertullian is an early Christian theologian and author. He reported that the Romans would say regarding the Christians, they would say this, they see how they love one another. Would the Romans say that about us? See how First Press loves one another? See not only how First Press loves one another, how they love Centenary and Awake and Two Cities, and I'm starting to figure out some of the other churches out there. How do they love those churches? And then they just love everyone, not just one another. They're just loving not only one another, they're loving just regular people, and even, oh my gosh, they're loving their enemies. Is that what people say about us? Do we love one another with the love of Jesus? How do you treat visitors who come in here? I know the people holding the doors open, you know, they give you a nice bulletin. They're very smiling. I love it. I sometimes come around front, even though I'm already here, just to get greeted. I do come around different times because they're just, we're so glad to see you, right? And just, it's so, like, that's so great. How do you treat the people who aren't like me? I mean, I'm dressed in a suit. I'm looking pretty sharp, right? What if they don't look like this? What if they don't fit into your way of thinking? How do you love them? And not just the people out there shaking hands and giving bulletins. How about you? Do you get out of your pew once you've sat there? You've got 3 minutes during incredible flute playing going on. Do you walk over and say hello to somebody and actually try to get to know them with the 3 hours? Not just a shake of the hand. How do we treat visitors? How do we react when people don't dress the way that we want them to on Sunday? What would have happened if I'd come in ripped jeans this morning instead of a suit? How would have you taken that? Would there have been some gossip afterwards? I mean, you're in the sanctuary. You should look your part. Look the part. How do you love one another? How do you respond when that waitress this afternoon messes up the order? How will you love him or her who is serving you? How do you respond when the elders choose to do something that you just don't understand? It was so easy. All we have to do is go back to the way we did things. We just had Sunday school in the middle. And I'm not happy. I don't even, this is something, it's going forward and it's beautiful. And I'm so excited about some of the things that are happening because I trust these elders and these pastors. And oh my goodness, they have such joy in their eyes. They want to reach this community. They want to reach you. And they think this is the best way to do it. And I can't wait to jump on board with that and get excited. Are you excited? Are you loving them? Are you sending, even though you disagree with them, are you sending them a love letter this week? Thank you for wrestling with this and praying for this. I love you. I don't even agree with you, and I love you like crazy. That would be so great to get something like that. What happens when the ref makes a bad call? Especially in March Madness and two North Carolina schools. What happens? How frustrating, how do you love, how do you respond when the pastor says something you don't like? Because if I haven't yet, it's happening. I've got it planned. because I want to do that. I want to step on your toes. Not for the sake of stepping on your toes, but so that we can be unified and figure out what love looks like and call us to something. I'm hoping, what happens? How do you love when you don't get your way? Can I remind you again about that love of that man who came and carried a cross and they put nails through his hands? Because I spend these first 6 or 8 sermons that I'm doing telling you what to do, to behave. And I've rethought that like 20 times even since I've given the schedule. Oh, I should have started with something else. I don't want you to think behaving is the way. I so want us to be being in Jesus before we're doing in Jesus. I think that's so important. But that doesn't mean it's wrong to be doing in Jesus. I just wish I kind of started with something else. But I don't want you to hear do. Behave better, like somehow win Jesus's love. This is the beauty of the gospel, is that Jesus doesn't love you more because of Jesus. Jesus is calling us to something on the other side of his freeing us from slavery and giving us this gift of life. And now he says, here it is, abundant and free. Join me in this mission, this alternative way of living in peace and humility. Oh my goodness, we get to be a part of this and love. The good news, friends, is that while we were yet enemies, Christ loved us and died for us. That's the kind of love that we are following after. We are now friends, political allies. We've come together. We're submitted in the same direction. This church, and I hope the other churches around us, under the authority of Jesus. So I'm not telling you how to get right with God. I don't want you to earn your salvation. All that is needed is a humble and contrite heart, a recognition that we aren't always living for him. That's how Amy prayed today, right? Sometimes we lack this, and we need to repent. And some of you might not know this Jesus, and maybe this is the first time that you'll repent. Because I'm going to pray in like 30 seconds. Maybe this is where you give your life over to this Jesus who's not calling you to do this, and this, who's calling you to a life of freedom and joy and abundance. He says, just take my hand. I'm going to show you something so much more beautiful. Respond to his grace today, Christians and non-Christians. Hear this grace. This Jesus went to the cross for you. He loves you that much. And on the other side of that, he says, let's go. Let's do something. Let me pray for us. I confess, Father, that I do not love as I should. Just as I confessed earlier in this service, I'm ending with that too. I don't love people well. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would animate me today, empower me, enliven me, fill me to love people this afternoon in ways that I am uncomfortable with. And not just this afternoon, tomorrow, as work begins in my office and in the restaurants that I go to and neighborhood people that I see and the little league games that we're a part of. Father, move us to love people in tangible ways so that they might see the beautiful love of the cross. Help us to be sacrificial and covenantal. In your name we pray. Amen.